Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
What is up, LFA TV? We are coming at you live from America. This is Matta of Fact, and I'm your host, Ryan Matta. Sorry, I don't got my one ear in. Thank you guys for joining us today. And today is Monday, May 20th. And boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. If you've seen the thumbnail over there earlier, you see Chicago Civil War. So you guys are hearing it here on LFA TV first. We and JJ Carroll, my partner, we're filming our documentary called What is Treason? And we're taking you on a journey all across America to show you what treason looks like. So I want to talk about it for a little bit. I think when I first started to put this documentary together, I'd reach out to JJ. I had been down to the border. I don't know. You guys have seen all my work down there countless times. These child migrant creation camps, to the border in California, been to the border in Arizona, been to the border in Texas. Constantly chasing this story. And every time I think I have an understanding of what's going on, I don't really have a clue. And it's really humbling to learn how ignorant you are and how much you think you know about something, to have like such a reality check of how little you know. So we're going to be the first network to tell you this story. And the story is this. We are one away from a full-on civil war in Chicago. We had just sat down with some of the highest profile players in Chicago. We sat down with some of the top level OG original gangsters. We sat down with Don Dirk, who was in the Disciples. He was a king. I want to make sure I'm saying these right. The terminology may or may not be accurate, but he was in the Disciples during the Larry Hoover days, which means that I think Larry Hoover got busted with what, like $100 million? These were the gangsters that were making hundreds of thousands of dollars per day, per block, as they said it, per block, to local pastors, to local activists, to homeschooling parents. We talked to everybody. And every single one of us told us the same thing. This is war. We are already at war. We are not being replaced. We have been replaced, America. And they are calling for every American citizen to rise up and stand in solidarity with Chicago. When I say that these people have gotten sold one hell of a bad bill of goods, you go into these cities, they don't have a gang problem. They have an opportunity problem. The city of Chicago is so ran down. Imagine trying to raise your child and the closest grocery store is 30 miles away. And in Chicago, that might be 2 hours on a busy rush hour day. 2 hours to go grocery shopping? These kids are raised off of gas station food. Cheetos, Doritos, Lunchables, maybe some eggs and milk at best. These cities were so bad. I can't explain it to you. I went from, and the most bizarre part of this entire story, we went from driving through what looked like a beautiful, nice suburb, $1 million houses, at least $1 million, if not probably upwards of $5 million. 10 minutes away, guys, like 5 miles away. You go from a different reality. Like I've been pistol whipped and carjacked in Detroit. Like I've been to the bad areas of Detroit and I thought that was bad. I went down to Chicago and it's a different, we have two Americas, and you fully realize how bad these inner cities really are. And it's not because of crime. It's not because the black people are wanting to shoot each other or anything like the mainstream media has made it out to be. We have a political corruption problem. You want to fix the city of Chicago? Why don't we start by opening investigations into every single city official, government official, any single person that's ever received a paycheck above basically basic minimum wage or had any position of authority or worked with any government contractor? Those are specific. We need to completely audit the city of Chicago and track down every penny that's been spent, every bribe, every kickback, because the citizens of Chicago have been sold out, America, by your government. And when I say once Chicago falls, at first I said, okay, you know, if Texas falls, it's over for America. Now I'm here saying if Chicago falls, and that is going to be ground zero. Mark my words, Chicago will be ground zero for the civil war that's about to break out in this country. And there's not a gosh damn thing any one of these politicians can do. And that's most likely why you're hearing stories about the UN soldiers being shipped over here. Joe Biden's now shipping in soldiers from overseas to come and police America because they know what's coming. They know it's going to be us against them. And I'm going to show you, you're going to watch a ginormous 6'3" law enforcement officer, JJ Carroll, stand in solidarity with the entire black community side by side. So do me a favor, folks. We got this big. We're going to go for like 30 minutes and I'm going to break down exactly what we've seen, but just pieces of it. This is only 1/10. This is the icing on the cake. This is the tip of the iceberg of the footage that we are about to show you that will blow your mind. We're going to completely change your perception of reality of what you thought Chicago was versus what it's really become. But before we get into that, I want to dive into just showing you the caliber of people that your government is importing into this country. This is going to make you sick. So be prepared. If you guys got a queasy stomach, this is as about as effed up as it gets. So meme, therefore I am, tweeted out 16 hours ago, which was a follow-up to this other tweet over here. And I want to make sure I get these right. I want to do them in order. So I want to start with this one. So breaking, an illegal alien accused of being a serial rapist who attacked his victims in a rape dungeon on wheels was arrested after deputies caught him in the act. Eduardo Sabria, 40, Mexican national, was arrested Monday with a 26-year-old woman inside his decked-out van, which he had driven to a remote area of the San Gabriel Mountains near San Bernardino, where he raped his victims. Sabrina White, 2015, Ford Transit van, described as a rape dungeon on wheels with no windows, was disgustingly outfitted for rape. Sabria is being held on no bail, and his arraignment is scheduled for June 27th at Prama Courthouse. So take a look at this.
This is a first look at the suspected serial rapist, 39-year-old Eduardo Sarabia. Investigators say he's a transient and illegal immigrant from Mexico, now locked up with no bail. LASD investigators strongly believe the two rapes he's charged with are not the only ones. Sarabia is formally charged with two felony counts of sexual assault for forcible rape of a woman just a few days ago on Sunday, May 12th, and a 26-year-old woman on Monday, the 13th. Two heroic deputies caught him in the act inside a white van in the San Gabriel Mountains and arrested him yesterday. There are a lot of very disturbing and heartbreaking details surrounding these two incidents that sound straight out of a horror movie, but we can't release them yet without jeopardizing LASD's case. This is a look at that, quote, rape dungeon on wheels, a van they say disgustingly outfitted for rape. It's a 2015 Ford Transit van, essentially a mobile cage with no windows in the back. Now, a crime scene on wheels, filled with evidence and under 24-hour surveillance in the LASD San Dimas parking lot. And this is where Sarabia would take his victims at night, a dark, scary, remote location in the Angeles National Forest with no chance of a cell signal. It's up Highway 39 in Azusa Canyon at mile marker 21 in a pitch black dirt turnout. It's frankly a miracle that the deputies even found the van described from the first rape victim in the remote area of the mountains where LASD is drastically understaffed and people who do live in the area are begging for more law enforcement officers to help patrol it and keep them safe. The Special Victims Bureau strongly believes there are more rape victims and needs the public's help for those victims to come forward and help ensure this man stays locked up and doesn't harm anybody else. So this investigation is undoubtedly in the preliminary stage with many more developments and details to release as investigators sift through all the evidence at the crime scene and inside that van and speak to the survivors. If you have any information, please call the Special Victim.
These are the type of people, folks. Yeah, that man should be, if found guilty, that man should be hung publicly at the border. We should just start hanging any illegal immigrant fresh at the border right there along from that 18-foot border wall and let them sit there and let the crows peck their eyes out with a giant sign with an arrow pointing that says, this scumbag raped an American citizen. I'm so sick of our government. When I'm telling you guys, when shit goes down in Chicago, I'm putting on body armor and I'm going right down there to stand in solidarity with every American citizen who's willing to stand side by side with me. What has been done to the citizens of Chicago? I don't even know how to explain it, man. And you want to know, what the worst part is? The small amount of money. I talked to a guy. This is how shit the GOP is, guys. This is what pisses me off, right? They dump millions and millions of dollars into these campaign ads. How much do you think, I don't know, the DeSantis campaign spent running ads? What was it, $100 million coffer? $100 million coffer. The GOP wasted backing that sleazy rhino scumbag, Ron DeSantis. $100 effing million effing dollars. Let that sink in, America. I could find you one man right now who could flip the entire state of the entire city of Chicago, every single seat Republican, every single one for $7 million. These kids have absolutely nothing. They are giving nothing. They have no hope, no opportunity. There's no jobs. There's no businesses to go work at. There's no side hustle. They don't have access. They're now converting their libraries. These people have a beach, a pool, and some libraries for their kids, and that is it. And now they're all being taken over and given to illegal immigrants. Billions and billions of dollars. You could literally turn Chicago, the worst neighborhoods in the world, in 5 to 10 years into some of the nicest areas in America. I guarantee you that. These are great children, great kids that have a bright future ahead of them, but they live in an area where they have no choice but to rob, steal, drug deal. And we're over here and we could fix all that for a few million bucks. But no, your government couldn't afford to do that, America. And it's amazing watching the entire community waking up going, you know what? We've been lied to. They've been pitting you against me and me against you this entire time while they effing robbed us blind. Let me play one more. Let me show you just the type of people that these are. These are the people that are getting your tax dollars. Big shout out to I am yes, you are no, whatever that means. I am yes, you are no, you are new me. Hey, a migrant who lived in a hotel for free at the taxpayers' expenses shows off his illegal earnings. They have to go back. Mass deportation is needed. Here's where your tax dollars are going, America, while veterans are sleeping on the street, getting their fingers and toes amputated because they can't get on a warming bus, but these guys can. Yeah. Makes your blood boil. All right, you guys ready? Smash that like button, folks. We're gonna get into some exclusive content. You're gonna watch us almost start a civil war. Literally, I thought it was it. If this fight would have went down and they and Mark, this man, who there is not one person I spoke with in the city who goes, hey, did you talk to Mark? Did you talk to Mark Carter? Did you talk to Mark Carter? Every single person you walk to, every single person you spoke to, every politician, every activist, everybody was talking about this man right here. You have to go talk to Mark Carter. Unfortunately, we were only able to catch up with him for a few minutes because this pretty much went down right away. But and he had to leave. He was very, very upset. I watched a man that was ready to literally start a civil war. He is watching his people getting absolutely gutted, destroyed for generation after generation while these politicians get freaking rich as hell, extorting your tax dollars while nothing goes to the city. And they create more and more government, more and more government, more and more government. And the citizens just absolutely suffer. So just look at this man's eyes. Listen to the story we're about to tell here. We're going to break it down over here on LFA. Smash that like button for me, folks.
Give me no information.
I don't care if
we're not asking you shit.
I'm not asking you for a second. Please step
out. Don't ask me nothing.
I'm going to ask you to please step out.
Oh, what?
I'm going to ask you to
please step out.
Or I'm going to call the police.
Are you calling who the fuck you want to call?
I wish you touched me. I wish you touched me.
No, I'm going to
touch you. I wish you touched me, sir. Can you please step out?
No.
The gentleman you just seen on the screen there is Mark Carter. Mark is the unwavering voice of Chicago's inner city. In the heart of the Windy City, amidst the towering skyscrapers and building streets, a voice rises above the din of the urban life, demanding justice, equality, and a better future for Chicago's forgotten citizen. The voice belongs to Mark Carter, a passionate Black activist and community leader who has dedicated his life to fighting for rights and dignity of the city's most marginalized population.
Hey, we sent it a direct message, and we asked Trump to come to Chicago, come here and walk these streets with us, and we'll put thousands behind him as he walks the streets. And that's a fact. That's a promise.
Carter, a resident of Chicago's distressed North Lawndale neighborhood, has become a prominent figure in the city's activist scene, using his platform to address issues such as crime, unemployment, and the influx of migrants that have left the city's Black residents feeling abandoned and neglected, as they should. The footage you're about to watch here on the screen was captured by myself and my business partner, JJ Carroll. We are filming a documentary called What is Treason? Chicago was destination number two. We wanted to go to the heart of the migration crisis, straight from San Diego, straight to Chicago, so we could show you what treason looks like. This is what we captured.
So this building here, I think it was called the America Club. We had to go and get closer to it. The name of it is on the outside. But this is where they live in this building. They live in this building, and which is right on the side of the federal building, the Dirksen building. You know, we're talking, the Justice Department is right here. And right across the street is Dick Durbin's office, the U.S. Senator.
He don't care.
So.
U.S. Senator's office, right across the street.
So you live here. How many rooms are in here? Has this been renovated that?
Renovated.
Totally renovated, yes. Just for illegal aliens.
Yes. Wait, so the name is on the walls. You look on the wall to see the name of it.
Drop off and pick up.
The American Replacement Center.
Let's see if we can walk in.
What is that name? Oh, the Standard Club.
Don't be any louder. Shit.
Come on. So you have metal detectors.
Yeah.
You got everything. Beds, cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Private property.
What property is this? Is this for a homeless? No? Oh, I didn't know that. We're not allowed to talk. See it?
You are not allowed to record it here.
Why?
Let's go outside.
But why?
You need to speak to someone. Remember it's right here.
Nah. This is step out of the building. This is a private, specific building.
I'm sorry. How many people
funding by my tax
here?
Dollars,
sorry,
though, right?
I'm not allowed to be
funded by my tax dollars, right? We're not asking you for information.
It's a private building.
We're not asking you for no information.
I don't care if
we're not asking you shit.
I'm not asking you for a second. Please step out.
Don't ask me nothing.
I'm going to ask you to please step out.
Oh, what?
I'm going to ask you to
please step out.
Or I'm going to call the police
for you. Call who the fuck you want to call.
Go ahead. Hey, call the police for me real quick.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you think you're talking to? Okay, who you call?
911. Just call 911.
Chump.
We'll walk out. We're leaving. We're leaving. We're leaving.
Who the fuck you want to call?
Thank you, sir, for understanding.
You'll get what you're looking for fucking with me. Oh, no.
I wish you touched me. I wish you touched me.
No, I'm not.
I wish you touched me, sir. Can you please step out of the building?
No.
Step out of the building. Don't worry. Just call 911. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not a problem.
Hey, you're in a private building.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're looking at a 12-story, minimum 12-story building.
No. Way tougher than tough.
Excuse me, sir.
Way tougher than tough. Keep talking. All you gotta do is keep talking.
Sir, you gotta be back on that door.
You know what I mean?
Step out of the property, please.
Message is right
I'll show you what a tough guy looks like.
My name's Arturo.
I'll show you what a tough guy looks like.
Step out of the property, sir, please.
Oh, you gonna do what? Call the police. That's all you're gonna do.
That's fine.
You gonna call the police.
That's fine.
Right, exactly. Stay in your motherfucking place. Chump.
This is America. This is treason. This is exactly. But see, these guys can walk into our building we pay for, but we can't. You want to understand what treason is, America? This is what's called treason, right here. This whole building has been renovated to house illegal aliens.
Yes.
We just came several blocks away from a U.S. citizens sleeping in redundant, torn down tents. You got a 15-story building they renovated. We just walked in behind two illegal aliens. Probably they look like they're from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
They get to walk in, and then we get accosted and yelled at, cursed at.
And then they call the police.
They call the police, and we just walked in thinking, well, can I have some of this free shit?
Right.
Can I have some of it? I want, you and I spent $1,000 at an Airbnb. Can I stay in one of those rooms for 3 days for free? And you're gonna pay fee? I can't even walk into a building that I paid for.
Exactly.
That we paid
my
for.
My tax dollars pay you to discriminate against me.
And then you curse
America.
At me.
Right.
And then you threaten to fight me. This is treason, America. You want to know the manifestation of tens of millions of people coming in our country? Your government hates you. They hate you, they hate you, they hate you.
Definitely.
And they hate this man as a black American and me as a white American, but we stand side by side and we scare the hell out of the power structure.
Yes.
Because we are together. America is not divided. The people in power divide us. But we are
America, not them.
Not them. They're not American. This, God dang it, man.
So let me tell you a little bit about the Standard Club. So for over 150 years, the Standard Club was a mecca for Chicago's business titans, many of them Jews, who were banned by the discriminatory membership policies of the University Club and Union League Club. Now, the shuttered club near the Dixon Federal Building is being used to house over 761 asylum seekers, a number that could grow to as many as 1,200 in the coming months. 1,200 migrants. And we're well past 1,200. I guarantee you that. Now, check this out. So this facility, the Standard Club, is in Plymouth Court in the shadows, like literally buildings next door to the federal building complex.
So this building here, I think it was called the America Club. We had to go and get closer to it. The name of it is on the outside.
Okay, so check this out. Now it goes on to say the Standard Club on Plymouth Court in the shadows of the federal building complex. So it's literally the federal building, the courthouse. This building is right next to the courthouse, and you are watching drug dealers, pimps, hoes, prostitutes, trafficking, human trafficking, kidnapping, you name it. I bet you any money there is not a single crime that you could commit in Chicago that is not being committed by the illegal immigrants who have been shipped into the downtown cities of Chicago. This will make you sick. Check this out. So now Chief U.S. District Judge Rebecca Polymer alerted her colleagues to the designation in a recent email. Some of you, and I quote, some of you have observed increased activity at the building formerly occupied by the Standard Club, 320 South Plymouth Court. We have learned that the city of Chicago is using the building as a temporary housing for newly arrived migrants. Pay attention to the keywords here, newly arrived migrants. We're going to come back to that. There are 700 new residents, and that number is expected to rise to 1,200, at least for several months, Polymer wrote. newly arrived immigrants. These are illegal immigrants who illegally broke the law and are currently pending charges for breaking the law. Invasion of America, folks. And we are rolling out the red carpet to them. While meanwhile, right next door, 10 feet away, 50 feet away, 100 feet away, there are American veterans sleeping on the streets in tents in absolute squalor.
What, Montreal, how do you feel about all the illegal aliens getting money?
I do not feel as fear. I'm not a racist. They need help, but how could you give them that kind of help? $10,000, $50,000 to stay there for a year. But I've been here my whole life. I am inside of Section 8. I work. I'm not getting no money. No one's offering me $50,000.
No help?
I get
Can you
here.
Speak up a little bit?
I get here. I'm cold at night. They get to sit on a bus. I've asked to sit on a bus. I've never been to prison. I would like change here in Chicago.
You say you've never been to prison?
No, sir.
And they wouldn't let you sit on a bus?
A very, very cold night. One time I asked, and I just left. No, sir. I also, I'm not against the police reform. Shit happens. But I think we need to have a better control system of it and a better way to communicate with them than we do, you know? And it's like,
go ahead. My biggest question. How is it that you serve and protect as an officer, a police officer, but when something kind of serious go down, it's not even handled the right way? Not even protocol or none of that. But let it be, if you see it, yes. You have ocular proof? Yeah, but let me tell you that if he hit me, well, what did you do to get hit? Like, your job is to serve and protect, regardless of what the situation is right or wrong.
Yep.
Like, that's my biggest issue. I don't understand it.
Thank you guys for talking to us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, guys.
Every ounce of that.
We're down here in Chicago, downtown. We just left a homeless encampment here behind us. We got American citizens that are out here freezing on the streets at night, living in tents, completely abandoned and forgotten. When Trump talks about the forgotten Americans, these are the forgotten Americans. And you want to know what? They're not going to be the forgotten Americans. They're going to be the replaced Americans in a very short period of time. What's happening to this country is an absolute atrocity, and it needs to stop now.
Let's go.
It's really unfair, you know, how our government, you know, I've been paying taxes. I finished paying my child support, and I paid taxes, a lot of taxes. And really, the Civil War, that's what it was about taxing the South. Well, anyways.
He's Hispanic, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not racist.
And
Hispanic.
Hispanic. Who's panic? You know, his panic. You know, you get it? Who's panic am I? I'm proud of, I'm Mexican American, and I'm first generation, the first born in America, United States, from my family. And I'm very proud of all of us first generation Mexican Americans. We got two cultures, two languages, two identities. Of course, our heart lies with the United States of America, you know, because this is where we're born and, you know, where we're educated. As a Mexican American, I'm proud of the generation, how they're becoming, incorporating a United States without extremism, without racism. And I think we're real good citizens. And most of the cops are Mexican Americans, and they're fair people. We are, you know, and we got the American spirit in us, and can't wait to take more leadership. You know, my kids are great Americans too.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And good. Long live Trump too, man.
He's long live Trump, baby.
Yeah.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
Imagine this. -5 degrees out. So cold that you wouldn't even walk outside without hats, hoodies, gloves, t-shirts, fully clothed, dry clothes at that. Then imagine being in that same environment, homeless, sleeping on the streets of Chicago after you went and fought in the Iraq war, after you took bullets for this country and you came back a little bit messed up and our country turned their back on you. It's negative 5 degrees. You're sleeping in a tent in a puddle of frozen human feces, freezing to death. And you go down the street to get on a bus. You can't get on a bus. Why not? Oh, because those are warming buses for the illegal immigrants that broke into this country.
So what's on the other side of here?
You'll see right now. We'll go there right now. So they come through here and they put them in the buses here.
Well, don't cross over because they will tell you you're breaking the law.
Every time I came here, we stood here. You can stay there if you don't want to get in trouble.
These people. Who's this guy?
Who is this guy here?
He's missing.
So what is this?
All right, so this is intake center. These are called warming buses in the winter. So you'll see the homeless folks down there during sub-zero freezing. They would not let anybody that's not Venezuelan into the center. There's the bus. They just dropped them off. They're going through intake right now. So they're taking people that most likely came in from O'Hare Airport and going through the intake. And then the overflow goes into these warming buses, which are probably called cooling buses in the summertime, right?
Yep.
Here's where the Office of Emergency Management is. Hey, I'm back. He's shaking his head. He's shaking his head. The same guy.
What is this, dude?
All right, watch it here. Let's see if there's a bus driver in here.
This is
so they got 6 centers there. So they'll take them and they'll distribute them to the shelters.
So what is the purpose?
There you go. Here's the...
What is
these are from the Catholic Charities. This guy is going to probably say something.
This is unbelievable, dude.
How are you?
I literally cannot believe.
Huh?
Good. Thank you, though, for asking.
Hello. This is mind-blowing to me, man.
Yeah.
Absolute and utter chaos. Look at all the Chinese.
That was there before. Whatever this was. So these are intake centers. So they drop them off in the buses, they go through there, and then they give the shelters of the illegals, they assign them shelters. And if there's too many buses, let's go talk to my buddy here. If there's too many buses, too many people, they put them on the bus.
And those are just to process them and check them in.
Yeah. So,
and then they just dump them into the town.
Yeah. Yeah. So this just keeps them either cool or warm. This guy hates me.
You do all this live, huh?
Yeah. We're just checking in. It's been a while.
Fucking guys, man. Fucking clowns, man. This is fucking America.
JJ, look at that beautiful shot.
Beautiful fucking cities in the fucking
right
world.
There. Beautiful shot. So here, let me stand next to JJ. We'll talk a little bit here. So
you, as an American veteran, let me remind you, veteran, you can't get on that bus. We had veterans freezing to death on the streets. Fingers had to get amputated. Toes had to get amputated because the Americans couldn't get on those warming buses, because they were reserved for illegal immigrants. And then the city of Chicago deployed police officers to make sure that those American citizens did not get on those buses. Now I'm going to get back into this video. I don't want to overtalk it. I just want you guys to understand 1,200 migrants. Let's break this down really quick before we get back into this video. 1,200 migrants. We know from whistleblowers, from our investigations, from documentation provided by our own government, the average migrant, $600 per day to house them in these hotels. $600 per day. Let's just do the math. 1,200 times 600 per day. That's $720,000 per day per day. Now, it's a little bit hard because what the government does is they don't necessarily pay the hotel directly. They will pay an NGO. No contract bids, meaning the NGO says, yup, $600 per day, per head. We can hold 1,200 in this hotel. Cool, 600 per day. 1,200, that's 720,000 per day. Times that by 365, what do you get? $262,800,000. $262,800,000 per year. Per year, folks. When you guys see the footage that we're going to present to you over the next couple of weeks, it's going to blow your mind. When you hear President Trump say about the forgotten Americans, this is what he's talking about.
This is extremely important because this, what you just saw, was the feeling of Americans, but in particular here in Chicago, Black Americans. They are humiliated. They're disrespected. He had Mark, who was showing us around, had to leave because he couldn't take it anymore. You are about to see Chicago and you are about to see America by the summertime. This will be a complete war zone. And I want you to document this and timestamp it. I am telling you, what I just witnessed is the men in Chicago, particularly the Black men, are going to rise up. They have been humiliated and they are going to war, as I'm using their word. They're going to war against this, and there ain't nothing you politicians can do to stop it. I am telling you, America is on the brink,
Folks, told you guys we're going to get some exclusive footage over here on LFA. Big shout out to everybody that was dropping those super chats in the chat. I see you guys. Thank you so much. It's not much, but keep doing what you're doing. It's so important. Shyla, am I saying that right? I know you told me how to sound it out last time. Chila, that was it, wasn't it? Like Chila. Man, I feel so bad now that you especially gave me a super chat. I should have remembered how to say that. I apologize. Kittenhead, Ryan, use where needed. Thank you all so much. We had one more coming in from Cough McGroin. Yeah, Cough Sagan McGroin says, keep up the great work, Ryan. Here is a small token of appreciation. No, thank you guys. All the support, everybody that donated to our super chats, our gives and go and has helped us put this thing together. It keeps snowballing and snowballing. So all the donations are greatly appreciated. By next week, you guys will be able to pre-order this and really support us. So if you guys really want to support and help this documentary, every week, this thing's getting so big. We had, I think, 8 locations planned. And now in like the last 3 weeks, we've added 3 more. And each one of those is thousands and thousands of dollars, depending on where we have to go. We have to rent a rental car. We have to rent an Airbnb. We have to fly down with all my luggage. So I got to fly with 3 bags. You guys know how it is. Airport parking, rental cars, the whole 9 yards. Every trip is a literally like a family vacation as far as cost goes. And that doesn't include any of the edits. Every single interview that you see that we fully produce, like the 1 hour ones that has like the little sizzle reel, those are about 500 for the video, for the 1 hour edit or 1.5 hour edit. And then another like 150 to 200 for the sizzle reel in the beginning. So when this is all done, just the edits alone will probably be like 15 to 20 grand, give or take. And that's if we just kind of cap it where we are. But every time, so there's this special organization. I don't want to say too much, but they're like ex-CIA, ex-military, ex-special forces, ex-Navy SEALs. And they have this entire operation that hunts down elite child trafficking rings all over the world. They want to sit down with us. Colonel McGregor, General Flynn, they both signed on last week. When I say that this documentary is getting bigger than I can ever imagine, I don't want to get my hopes up, but I wouldn't be surprised if this airs at some point at Mar-a-Lago. That's how big this thing is going to be and how many people are involved in it. And when you start to peel this back, I thought that Chicago was bad. Let me show you where I was this weekend. Let me just show you. Politicians don't go here, folks. When I say that this is the most dangerous city in America, I would say crimes per capita. We were there for about 4 days. So give or take, right? Just from 512 to 518, 10 shot and killed, shot and wounded, 62, America, 62. How in the hell are 62 Americans dying on a city in Chicago if we are sending billions and billions of dollars to third world countries, do you know how easy you could fix this city? All you have to do is invest in it. And that's what Trump knew. Not saying he was doing the best, that everything perfect for Chicago, but when the entire city's taken over by Democrats and they control everything, imagine having one seat in the entire state or in the entire city. One seat. That's all that Republicans control. And they could sweep the floor for $7 million right now. Scott Pressler is going to be going down there to meet with Mohammed. You guys are going to see a lot of Mohammed. You guys are going to see J.J. Carroll sitting on the top of a rooftop in O Block, which is the most dangerous neighborhood in the most dangerous city in Chicago. The most dangerous block in Chicago. And we were off limits. I felt safer in the most dangerous neighborhood in Chicago than I felt at the border. I felt more welcome. It was the bizarre. You know, I used to be not the greatest kid when I was younger, always hustling and doing crazy wild stuff and partying and going down to Detroit and hanging out and just getting up, just up to no good. So I've been to bad places before. Like I said, I've been pistol whipped and carjacked in Detroit. I used to go down to the city and, like, if you're white and you get out at any, and this was back before weed was legal, right? If you got out at any gas station in Detroit and you were white, by the time you walked up to the gas station to pay for your gas or buy cigarettes or whatever you were going in there for, blunt wrap at the time, before you got back out to your car, somebody was trying to sell you weed just because you were white. You got these weird stares like, are you here to buy drugs, right? Because that was the only thing that white people really came to that area for, was drugs or the casino. So either you had money on you and you were a mark and they wanted to rob you, or you were buying drugs and you were a mark and they wanted to rob you, or you had bought drugs and you're a mark and they want to rob you. I went to Chicago and it was the most bizarre experience being white and being in probably like a 99% black area. And they looked at me like, you're white. You're not an illegal. It was like, yo, what up, American? It was the biggest, warmest welcome. Now, maybe because we were blessed by some of the top level gangsters, like the OG original gangsters, the ones who actually run the streets, and that they told everybody that we were off limits. So nobody was to lay a finger on us anywhere we wanted to go, anywhere we wanted to see. I mean, I'm talking, they were showing us pictures of 12-year-olds carrying 100-round drums. Every single kid basically carries a weapon down there, to school, not to school. They live, and they've been abandoned by our entire government. And when I say that these kids don't have a chance, they, seeing the ones who have made it out of that and what they had to go through to get themselves out, they don't even have, like, the saying is, they're like, oh, well, you know, we'll pull ourselves up from our boots, you know, we'll bootstrap ourselves. They're like, we don't even got boots down here in Chicago, but we'll still pull ourselves up. And they're still fighting for America, and they're still fighting to save this country. While most people I know have their head in the sand and they're taking it for granted. Chicago's on the verge of a civil war, and they need all of our help. They need every media outlet in the world to shine a spotlight on Chicago and show to Chicago what's being done. There is no, you will never have a better example of showing this country the carnage and chaos that's been created by this administration than showing them what's going on right there. I don't think I finished that article. Did I finish that rape van one? I don't think I did. If I did, it's worth watching this second part again. So this is an update, right? So I played the first trailer to this rape dungeon. I don't think I played the second. So I mean, therefore I am says update. Horrifying footage shows inside rape dungeon on wheels with cage, condoms, and kid toys where the serial rapist, illegal migrant, abused his victims. And I haven't heard anything about how many victims there are, but the mattress in the back of this van was very saturated, so they said. Check this out.
First exclusive look inside what investigators call a, quote, rape dungeon on wheels.
Oh, my God.
Described as rigged for rape. Condoms, ropes, bungees, children's toys, multiple cell phones and hard drives, and the mattress. Worn, stained, disgusting.
And I can say in almost a 20-year career, this is the most disturbing scene I've ever been in. Now, all of that evidence has, of course, been processed. Everything that's in here is what's left.
Investigators say the man they call a serial rapist would lock women inside this mobile cage, locked in from the outside, behind this metal partition with no escape, except for by their scream that they describe as blood-curdling. Detectives say that scream likely saved a 26-year-old woman's life. 40-year-old Eduardo Sarabia is now locked behind a similar metal cage on suicide watch. He was arraigned on Wednesday, formally charged with two felony counts of sexual assault for forcible rape of two women this week alone. But based on this setup, detectives believe there are many more yet to come forward. LA County Sheriff's deputies say the man lived inside this 2015 Ford Transit van where he would offer females a ride, say he was camping up in the San Gabriel Mountains, and then take them to a dark, scary, remote location in the Angeles National Forest with no chance of a cell signal. It's up Highway 39 in Azusa Canyon at mile marker 21 in a pitch black dirt turnout. And inside this, quote, rape dungeon, investigators say that's where Sarabia would rape and molest them. Unfortunately, this looks like it's only the beginning of what's to come.
These are the people. T. Mitchell coming in hot with a $20 super chat. Thank you so much, my friend. God bless you guys. Kittenhead, I see you. Chila. I think I'm saying that right. I should go back and check that. Sassy lady, thank you all so much for the super chats. Greatly appreciate it. Firing squad. Suicide watch. Yeah, for what? For what? Why? Jeez, oh, Pete's, man. That's what I said, Griffin. Griffin says, let him mess himself. 100%. Victims take shots first. Yeah. Yeah, Consilvertive, you guys are speaking my language, my friend. Firing squad is too good. Unwokeable. I agree. We need to bring back public hanging for people like him. And we need to do it publicly from the border wall if they're a migrant. Period. It's the only way we put an end to this. And until Americans step up, when Chicago falls, folks, you guys understand what they're doing? They are taking over your city. They are replacing you. They are using your tax dollars while they rob you blind and loot you into bankruptcy. As they build the banking crisis, the financial crisis, they continue to flood your cities with violent, dangerous criminals. This is a war, America. We are at war. It's already started. Most people just haven't realized it yet. But the inner cities, and I hate using the word the black communities, because we're all Americans, so we should restart referring to them as the American communities. But the sad part is they are all blacks in the inner city. And they aren't getting replaced, America. They have been replaced. So when I tell you Jeremy's going to be breaking some major stories with JJ, he's got JJ Carroll, my partner, coming on for a one-on-one interview. I just got back from Chicago at like 1:30 in the morning last night. So I woke up at 6. Bunch of crap happened with a rental car. They ended up changing the location of a rental car, which was supposed to be like a few miles from my house. They ended up like sending me a text message during our show on Thursday. And we're like, oh, your rental car pickup location has been changed to several miles away. If you'd like to cancel your order, please contact. So I contact the rental car company. I'm like, you guys just moved my rental car to an hour away in the opposite direction that I'm going. They moved it to the airport. So not only was I supposed to pick it up from a local place where I could park my car and take the rental car, they wanted me to drive an hour to the airport and then pay airport parking, which is like $30-something a day to rent a car. So I drive an hour in the opposite direction, hour back in this direction. I had Garrett waiting for me. Garrett O'Boyle, the FBI whistleblower, was meeting me for a sit-down interview. We're going to get into that story too, which is pretty freaking crazy. The entire time we were in Chicago, we filmed nonstop. I left here right after our show. I drove basically with a chicken around with his head cut off, trying to figure out how I was getting to Chicago after the rental car fiasco. Got that situation figured out. Got down to Chicago 10 minutes before Garrett got there. Just enough time to start setting up my camera gear. Filmed with Garrett for about 3 hours. Went to bed. I think Garrett left Chicago at probably 1 or 2 in the morning. I was up at 6:30 to go leave to get JJ from the airport, which was an hour away, to be there at 7:30. JJ got in. We left at 8. We didn't get back in that night till about 9 o'clock at night. Went to bed, woke up again. And we got back at about 9 o'clock at night. went to bed, woke up again at 6 something. And we went all day from 6 nonstop all the way till, I don't think we got back till about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And then we were filming again with a pastor at 9 a.m. And then we went from 9 a.m. We left the house at about 10:30. And I didn't get home till almost 1 in the morning last night. So when I say like we got some content and JJ's going to be bringing you guys some fire content on Jeremy's show tomorrow, you won't want to miss it. You want to see about 20 different people we interviewed all saying the exact same thing. This is a war. This is an invasion. We are being replaced, America. Wake up. Come stand with us in solidarity. And I don't know if there's enough. That was the question. Are there enough people in these cities that are willing to stand up and do the right thing? Because it's weird how we're starting to piece these pieces of the puzzle together. Why are all the Chinese going to California? Why are they shipping all the Venezuelans to Chicago? Why'd they reroute the Haitians? You know that? Do you know there's specific races and ethnicities around the world that are extremely racist towards black people, that are extremely prejudiced? And it almost seems like that they are moving those people to areas all over the country. It's almost like they're planning the perfect civil war. We got information today that they are starting to bring over UN soldiers and training UN soldiers for civil unrest in America. They are planning something big, folks. I don't know what it is, but we're slowly piecing all the pieces together, and what it is not good. I would go as far as saying if Donald Trump doesn't go to Chicago and march with these black citizens and tell them to keep your cool no matter what happens, America, I got your back. We're going to fix this. We're going to do it together, but we cannot have a civil war before the election. And if he doesn't do this, if Trump doesn't go to Chicago and settle this down, the civil war is going to start in Chicago. Mark my words. And I bet it starts in the next month. Every single one of these gangbangers, gangsters, thugs, every one of them from just, I don't even know, to like the top level, like smartest people you'd ever speak with in your life. Every single one. It doesn't matter who we talk to. We are going to war, America. The American government, including the Democratic Party, has declared war on the citizens of Chicago. They have been robbing them blind. They have been extorting their tax dollars. They've been overtaxing them. They've been incarcerating, destroying families, ripping fathers out of the homes, putting birth control, Planned Parenthoods on every freaking corner, dumping guns, the CIA bringing in mountains of drugs and distributing crack throughout the black communities, man. Come on, folks. I've never been one for reparations, but man, when you see what's been done to these people, and they don't want your reparations. They don't want handouts. They want an opportunity. That's it. They don't need more police. And Tyrone said it to me like this. He said, the Republican Party last time ran, I forget the guy's name that they ran there for the Republican candidate. And he goes, you want to know what his campaign strategy was? He goes, we're going to be tough on crime. So do you know what a black man hears when a white man or another Republican politician says, we're going to be tough on crime? He said, every black man hears, you know what they hear? We're going to lock these N-words up. And that was the message the Republican Party ran with last time. We're going to lock these people up. They don't need jail, guys. We don't need more police down there to make Chicago safe. We just need opportunities for these kids. They just need a chance. And that chance doesn't come by some government organization. It comes from giving money and resources to the people that support the cities. You see, the crime rates are actually down in Chicago. Why is that? Because local activists have put organizations themselves together themselves, all funded themselves. And they go down to the streets of Chicago and they recruit the children, the kids. The kids that are carrying the guns, the young bucks, they call them down there. They run the streets, the kids, guys. These aren't like organized, sophisticated, like adult organized crime syndicates. Yeah, maybe they might have an adult at the leader of it. But the soldiers on the streets are 14, 16. These are just kids, man. We interviewed some of these kids that were in like shootouts. Like they were getting shot at. And they like bullets were flying past their head and they started running and turned around to return some fire. And one guy got hit. Self-defense. He got 55 years. He got sentenced in prison at 16. Because he shot another gangbanger that was going to shoot his friend. 55 years, man. And when you see these interviews and you hear these stories about these people, it'll break your heart. These are good American citizens who were just sold a horrible bill of goods. And then you see our government. And the worst part is you're seeing our government sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to third world countries. Billions, guys. Do you know what we could have did for these inner cities? Do you know how many American lives we could have saved if we would have invested? I mean, these people are talking about they can fix the entire city, clean the entire thing up for like $30 million. $30 million. We could save 100-something lives next year just from stray bullets. And they end up dead or in prison. It is their only choice if they stay there. These people don't have an option. There's no way out for them. 99%, I would say. Not with, you know, it might have been different 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but with the crushing weight of inflation, could you imagine when a little bag of Doritos in a gas station costs you $3? And that's the only source of food that you can find is at a local gas station? Do you imagine how much your grocery bill would be every month if you had to shop at CVS or Walgreens for everything that you bought? You couldn't afford it. And knowing how much money these politicians have been scamming and skimming from the citizens of Chicago, man, every last one of these people should be stripped from their positions of power, locked up in cells, and just let them rot for a year until we figure out what we're going to charge them with. These are evil people, man. And what they've done to the black community, so freaking sad, man. Check this out. We got time for one more. Let's throw this one out there. I mean, for there I am, says breaking illegal aliens accused of being a serious rapist. Oh, that's not the right one. I'm just going to throw the video up.
Vuelve a ocurrir de nuevo en la frontera de Juárez y El Paso. Decenas de migrantes tiran las vallas de alambre y cruzan a la fuerza. La Guardia Nacional no pudo hacer nada para detenerlos. Los migrantes utilizaron unas vallas largas que las autoridades usan como cerca a la orilla del río Bravo y las pusieron de escalera para subir. Luego saltaron hacia adentro.
¿Quieren aprovechar para meterse ahorita?
Sí, porque no hay opción, no hay opción, no nos dejo.
Los elementos de la Guardia Nacional que vigilan la orilla del río trataron de detenerlos, pero les fue imposible ante tanto migrante que los sobrepasaban.
¿Va a brincarse también ahorita?
Sí, que Dios me acompañe.
Se escuchaban gritos de niños horrorizados y madres desesperadas que no querían quedarse del lado mexicano. Un migrante se sentó en lo alto de la cerca y ayudaba a pasar a los niños y empujaba a otros hacia adentro.
Y mientras decenas de ellos tratan de brincar el muro a la fuerza, otros escuchan el relajo que está pasando y llegan corriendo de otras partes del río para hacer lo mismo, unirse a este grupo y brincar hacia el lado estadounidense, ya sobrepasando a las autoridades de qué lado que...
That's it, folks. That's all we got over here on Matter of Fact. God bless each and every one of you guys. Pray for these people in Chicago, folks. Start putting pressure on your local government, your local GOP. The GOP was serious and they wanted to win this election. They'd be diverting, at the very least, $7 million to Chicago so that they can run the most massive ballot harvesting campaign that America's ever seen and flip every single seat in Chicago red. And that's possible. Trump goes to walk with these people down in Chicago, and I pray that he does because we're going to be there front and center. We're going to take over the entire state of Illinois. God bless each and every one of you guys. It is 3 p.m. over here on LFA TV. Up next, we have NFSC, followed by a stacked lineup of shows all day over here. We got Pete Santilli, the legendary Sean Farish, and Mike Crispy. People like Roger Stone and the legendary Will Johnson himself, followed by a stacked lineup of shows in the morning. We got Rise Up with Jeremy Harrell. We got, what is it, Unafraid with Mike Crispy, and Live from America with Jeremy Harrell as well at 11. Folks, we got a stacked lineup of shows. Please consider smashing that like button, sharing this content. Definitely smash that like button on the way out the door. Let's pump this show today big time, because everybody in America needs to see what's being done to the American citizens. God bless each and every one of you guys. We'll be here same place, same time tomorrow. God bless you guys. Well, that didn't work out. There we go.
Run.